Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim, and our guest today is Kelly. So Kelly, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
My name is Kelly Swing. I'm in Keller, Texas, and I own a sustainable salon and a sustainable distribution company. I also am a certified business coach. And so I also have sustainable salon summits. So we also have large summits focused on sustainability.
So can you just tell our audience, I think that most people don't know, like what exactly is a sustainable salon?
That's a good question. Okay, so it's, in my opinion, it's many things. It's not just one thing. So a lot of people say, well, I recycle, so I'm sustainable. That's not what sustainability is, in my opinion. So we do everything. We're cruelty-free. The products we use are organic and chemical-free. We recycle everything, and all of the things that we do are better for the planet. The way that we preserve the water and everything that we do in our system is sustainable. How we sustain our business, our employees. We focus on mental as well as physical health. So there's a lot of things to sustainability to me when it comes to being a fully sustainable salon or awesome. Business.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you have the salon, that you have products. So how did you get the idea for this? And I guess also which came first, like a salon, you said, okay, I want to make products for the salon or vice versa. What did that look like for you?
Well, I was a manager and a district manager for a corporate company of salons, and I was running 6 salons, and I started to have a lot of health issues. And what I didn't realize is that my health issues were contributed to inhaling pneumonias all day long. So I started getting sick and I started having these concerns. Well, when I was with this company, they decided to sell to our competition, and I knew that my days were numbered at that point. I knew the company was probably going to either be closed down or changed over to where it wouldn't be something that I would want to be a part of. So I ended up researching medical issues for a long time because I couldn't figure out what was going on with me. And the doctors kept telling me, oh, you're just getting older, you know. So I don't think that's it. But along that journey, I ended up working in a hospital after that, and I was in another state. So I started seeing young women coming in with, because we did over 150 mammos a day. I was working in a radiology department. So we did mammos, CAT scans, and all of that. And I started to get, you know, the girls would come in with mammograms. I would have to call them back. You need to come in for more treatments, and you'd have to come in for a biopsy. So things started going off in my head. And after that, I was looking for another salon because I was in a new place, and I found a little salon that organic color, and I thought, that's not going to work. You know, there's no way.
So where were you living before? And I guess, like, where did you, okay, so give you a mile, you know, adding that to the story.
Yeah. Well, I was in Texas at first, right? And then I was transferred with my company and I moved to Arizona. And then that's when they sold the company. So I ended up in California at that point. And I was in Northern California when I went to this little salon. And I said, what is this that you're talking about, this color stuff? And she said, you don't know what's in the products? And I said, no, never thought about it. And which so surprising to me is I never thought about it. I'm working in a salon, we're putting it on our head, it's burning. And, you know, we just don't think about the effects that it's really doing. So then I started researching everything I could find, learned so many things, cut out all these chemicals out of my life, and things started to change. So then I ended up coming back to Texas, and I was looking for a sustainable salon, and I couldn't find one. I was driving over an hour and a half to find someone who would be willing to do a color on me. And so she decided not to hair anymore. And I ended up with opening the sustainable salon in Texas. So that's kind of how it went. It went because there wasn't anywhere to go. And I had some stylists that used to work for me that wanted to work for me again. And here we are.
So
that was 7 years ago.
7 years ago. So yeah. Essentially, I mean, it's one thing to sit there and say, like, you know, I mean, you know, that you want to get a sustain, you know, are looking for sustainable services, but it's a different thing to say, okay, I'm actually going to go and create this. So, I mean, you essentially solve the problem for yourself first, right? And you're like, I'm going to solve this problem for myself, and then find other people that I'm sure are probably having the same sort of problem and could use your solution.
Exactly. Well, when I opened the salon, a lot of people told me I was crazy. They said, you know, no one cares about that in Texas. It doesn't matter. I said, well, I just need to teach them. I need to train them. I need to show them that it is important and that it is affecting people. And the clients are the stylists. They're my clients. So I wanted to make a better environment for them because it's affecting them more. So if you think about it, we're in the salon all day and their hands are in it. We're absorbing it. We're smelling it more than just a client coming in and getting their hair done. It's still bad and toxic, but it's worse for hairstylists. So then when I realized that I needed to help stylists, that's when I went to open a sustainable distribution because I wanted to help more stylists know that they can do green and have a sustainable salon and it be successful. That's kind of, then I went that direction and then I did the distribution. And then I started helping salon owners or hairstylists and I'm a businesswoman. So I ended up helping them, you know, let me help you with your business, you know? So I ended up doing that. And then I wrote a book on sustainability. So I just trying to get it out there to let everybody know that you can have beauty in a clean way because we're one of the second top demise in the planet is the beauty industry. So we need to do things a little bit differently.
So where's most of your revenue coming in from today? Is it from the distribution, from the salon, from the consulting? Like, what does that look like for you? And also, like, what is your goal? Because I guess in terms of, you know, salons, I mean, I don't know if you're planning on opening up more salons, really focusing more on the distribution. Like, what does that look like for you?
Well, I have a lot of opportunities and I love them all. My salon is very profitable. So we did over 1.5 million last year. We'll be exceeding that this year. But the salon is definitely amazing. It's a whole nother animal, though. I have 20 employees, you know, and you have a lot more. My distribution is a lot smaller. I don't have as many employees. So it's a totally different animal. And I do them both because they coincide with each other and they help each other. And then I end up helping my clients anyway. So it's kind of everything that I do. So my daughter runs my salon extremely well. So now that that part was going very well, it took us a while. Trust me. We made a lot of mistakes. We hit a lot of roadblocks and almost closed down a few times, I felt like. And now I'm at a point where I can help do my impact, I guess you would say, while my daughter is able to run the salon. I'm actually right next door to the salon, my distribution. So they find me all day long and I go over there all the time. But I love it all, I guess.
So like as of now, like you mentioned that the salon is doing very well. So are you more focused on the distribution, getting more of your products out in front of the public?
Actually, I guess I do want to open more salons. And I always, from where I came from, I believe you have to have the people in place to do so. So I will not open a salon until I have the right management team for that salon. So I'm growing that management team in my salon. But that's definitely very important to me. And also my distribution. So helping, the whole purpose of everything is to make the most impact on the industry and get as many people to jump on, to be sustainable, to help the planet, to help stylists, and to help make a change. So of course the distribution would be important to me because that's my impact that way. So, and also I'm creating opportunities for the people who work for me by being in my salon. So they're both just as important. I guess it's hard to pick. I don't think I could pick. You would say.
Yeah. So I guess like, what is the biggest challenge you're facing now? Cause I mean, like, at least for me, I don't have as much knowledge. Obviously, you know, I don't really go to salons myself, but I think it's like a lot of people probably don't even understand that. So is that more of your challenge of informing people about what this is all about?
My challenge is getting the word out. So people don't want to change. So to be honest with you, when I first changed my salon over, that was, I started with a different line and I thought it was clean and it wasn't as clean as I thought it was. So there's a lot of misinformation out there about products. So when I discovered that and decided to switch to another line, my entire team was freaked out. They knew that this product was not as good as the other one, but they were too afraid of change. And that was a really big lesson for me when my whole entire team said no. And I said, what? You know, what do you mean no? After 6 months of going back and forth with them, and I finally just said, you know, this is my integrity. This is what I stand for. I'm we're not going to go with a product that's not clean. So we'll either close the doors or you switch, you know, and I had to make that decision. So what I realized is getting the word out, it's easy to get the word out and I can tell people, but the change, the part of the change and the switch is the biggest challenge to get people to do that. So that you have to build relationships with people and build confidence and, you know, in order for people to even think about switching. So the biggest challenge is salon switching over to an entire another line because they're just afraid. So we invite them to my salon. They come and they can stay the day. They can see how we run things, see how my salon's working, just to believe, you know, I'm not just a salesperson. You know what I mean? I'm literally doing it every day and that's what we're using. So come see my salon, you know, come see how we do it. So that's been helpful, but still it is hard. That's my challenge. Getting people here, my salon, you know, dealing with employees, you have your moments. We have an amazing team. That's great. Getting new employees. I'm always hiring, but yeah, the challenges change.
So in terms of getting that information out there and explaining it to people, like how do you do it? Like, do you run a lot of ads, like marketing, email campaigns? Like really, how do you get in front of people about what you're doing?
Well, what I am just started branching out in the old social media realm. So I've been doing TikToks and Instagram and stuff like that with little bits on exactly what the industry is about. So I've been really stepping on some toes lately. So I'm putting myself out there and it's been a little afraid on that a little bit because I'm saying a lot of things that people are not saying. The second thing is I had my Sustainable Salon Summit. So we had a huge summit in Southlake. So we did that in May and we'll have more of those. We're going to have more of those. But I brought in speakers from all over the world. They presented to about everything from business-minded, mental health, suicide prevention, body language, like everything that we deal with, because as stylists, we deal with people's lives and they're, you know, we have people come with us in crisis and they don't have other people to talk to. So we need to learn how to be able to care for those people. So I did a huge summit and we invited all these people. So we do email the summit, social media. We have courses and classes all the time. So if people love education, then come learn. So we have free education a lot. So those are the ways that I reach out.
Makes sense. So obviously in 2023, there's a lot of movement towards adopting AI when it comes to different businesses. So are you currently using AI? And if not, like what are some of the use cases for AI when it comes to your business?
I've been using AI for a while. My team is a little bit more scared, but I love it. And I use it every day in my business. I'm also going to be launching out into another something that's going to be launching here in about February, I believe. And we will have AI in our salons. And I'm encouraging other salons, if they would like to be involved in that, to reach out, because we will have big screens that have technology in that. So it'll be really cool. So we're definitely ahead of the game. So what we call it is we're very innovative when it comes to that. Well, I am in moving that forward. You know, your team, you have to give them in pieces while, you know, experience things first and then feed people that. So
if you looked or using AI, for example, like with, you know, high level chatbots to set appointments or even give people information, because like, as we spoke about, like many people might be reaching out, like, what is this? Like, why should I go here instead of somewhere else? Right. So have you looked into using AI for those sorts of things?
Well, I use AI when I'm doing any type of marketing or emails to clients and stuff like that. Also, we have one built in our system to where it will, you know, with more ads that it, you know, especially with Facebook ads. So if you try to find ads of people that are clients that we already have with like salon and reaching out to get clients that are similar to them. So I do love that aspect of using the ads that way. But AI is, I use it in all my emails, marketing, funnels, all of it. Right, okay.
Like I'm saying, for example, like a chatbot, right? Like, you know, if somebody can just go like on your website and they can just book an appointment with, you know, with AI saying, oh, like, and I want it, or like, what do you do? Like, what is this thing? Like, so they can like communicate with a live person. If it's like 2 a.m. and they have questions, they can have a live conversation. I don't know if that's something that you've looked into.
Oh yeah, no. No, I haven't used that. No, I'm not on my website. What I have used is we have a thing called Maya or Meet Your Stylist. So people can actually go onto my website, do a personality test, and it matches them with 3 stylists. So we do a little bit of something that's a little bit more techie that a lot of people have liked because they believe that we care enough to make that incentive so they match up with someone that has the same personality. That's the only thing we have, but we have online booking. So if somebody goes on my middle of the night, books an appointment, they can book at any point at any time, but no chatbots. No, haven't done that yet.
Awesome. No, yeah, it's just something that's interesting that I've seen. It's like a lot of businesses that are trying to, like, I mean, just to your point, right? It's like people are always looking for the best use case for new technology. So what would you say is your top business priority going into now that we just started Q4 of 2023?
My most what? I'm sorry.
So your top business priority, Yeah.
My business priority is getting through the holidays, and the salon environment. And, I'm hiring two stylists. That's my top priority, is to get that done. And then I will be speaking at an event, Women of the World, on October 18th in LA. So I'll be a keynote speaker there. So that'll be my next adventure. And, but priorities for that, and hopefully growing my distribution in areas that I have a lot of expansion coming in the next few weeks. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Like, when you're speaking at these events, are you pushing this distribution, like talking about what you're doing?
So at this event, especially, it's I talk about being women in business and entrepreneurs, and encouraging women who may have been too afraid to step out in their dreams, and just make that next step, encourage them to help a business. And if they have any coaching that they need, that I'm happy to help them with that. So that's usually what I'm speaking about at this one, unless it's a summit, which I literally speak about sustainable beauty and how to become sustainable.
No, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Like, I mean, just, you know, to your point, it's important to understand who your audience is and who you're speaking to. So What would you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this business?
Well, I thought since I was a district manager and I, you know, ran six salons, it would be really simple to open a business, but I was quickly taught otherwise. So it's a lot harder than you think. Be resilient. Know that you're probably never going to, you're not going to make money for a while, and be able to make sacrifices and, you know, never give up, I guess you would say. That I had no idea that it was going to be that hard. And I'm always good about any challenge, but that was, it was a lot more than I anticipated. But yeah, I would have got more advice. I would have got a coach. I would have talked to someone. I would have definitely got more information before I jumped in. But
no, yeah. Yeah, it's funny. It's a common trend that you know, we hear on this podcast, is it's always going to take longer than you think. It's always going to cost more than you think. So it's all these things are always a very common trend. So if we're going to chat again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for the business?
Oh, good one. I believe I will definitely have another location in my salon, and probably a larger distribution center. That's definitely what I'll see myself at in by next year, for sure.
So in terms of that second location, are you looking in DFW or somewhere else? Like, what does that look like for you?
I have looked in DFW. I've also looked in Kansas City and Arkansas, which I know those sound interesting places, but I have a lot of contacts that would like me to do it there.
So if it was, you know, somewhere else further away, would you still be able to manage it, or like, what would that look like for you?
I think so. I think that getting the right people that are willing, once you have the people in place and you have the people you trust and worked with you for a while, then yeah, you can be able to do that. Sure.
Well, I want to say, Kelly, thank you so much for your time. We're rooting for you, and hopefully we can chat again in 1 year from now as you keep growing your company.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks.
Nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you. Thanks. All right. Bye.